Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you're with me on this beautiful April 13th, 2019 day. We're going to be looking at the ego and the practice. It's going to get ugly, I hate to tell you. I get to all sorts of interesting questions throughout the week, and the ones that most stick out, you know, they're prevalent more than any other, is anything about the ego and a spiritual practice and how they're linked together, that whole thing. So we're going to talk about it today, and while we're on the subject, I hope that you will consider being a sponsor. You know, a lot of people look at giving as a matter of egotism. They really do. Everything on this planet is run by the ego one way or the other, but very few things in love. And I hope that you love this program and you see the validity of what I'm trying to do. I offer probably counterculture things here on this Aspire radio program, TV program, website that I do. And it is for those of you who are out-of-the-box kind of thinkers, people who are not content with the common mediocrity of thought and what most people are thinking. So if you're one of those people that, well, you're out of the box, you're looking for or living in something within yourself that is more profound than what most people are content to live in, then I think you will find the Aspire radio program here, the TV programs, and everything that I offer on the Aspire website of great service to you. And it can only be there due to your kindness, your financial support. Everything we do, of course, in this world costs money. And we're trying to just sustain Aspire. I am not an ambitious guy. I look at everything from the point of view of what is possible in love, and that's all that really matters. And if I have a few very good students, then I am very grateful. And maybe you're one of them in the sense of listening to this program and having some sense of devotion towards an authentic spiritual practice. If so, you can become a sponsor. It would help greatly with our effort. If you go to the website at aspire.org, there you will see at the bottom of the page why support Aspire. And if you click on that, it will tell you everything you need to know about the support of Aspire and how to become a sponsor. And there's a package there to fit everyone's budget, and there's all sorts of goodies for you. You get my podcast, video cast, and two commentaries per month, and believe me, they're chock full of insight. You get access to all my Aspire TV discourses, 122 of them, as well as a copy of the message of the month that is sent to you each and every month as my way of thanking you for your kind support. This is all there for you. I hope you will help us. The ego. Oh my goodness. How do you define ego? It's a very difficult thing to do. It has to do with the ideas and ideals of belief, of theory, of self. It is the totality of a self. And what the heck does that mean anyway? Well, we're going to look into it. The ego has nothing to do with thee or me in its truest sense. You are that which has nothing, is a nothing. You do not really deep inside in your core, in your origins, possess an ego. But the minute you hit the human body, incarnating here in this world, you and I get to have an ego. We get to have a body and all the accoutrement that goes along with that. And this is what happens. We get to be, an ego. And it gets in the way of everything that we're doing, everything that is important in an authentic spiritual practice. So we're going to look at that. The first question comes from Carol, and she lives in California. She says, the practice, as you describe it, Greg, seems to not be in support of an ego. I don't understand. How does anyone do that? We all have egos. Isn't the practice a part of the ego? Could it be a part of the ego? Carol. She gets very wordy. I'm sorry, Carol. I had to kind of edit that a little bit to help you here. No, it is not. My ego is Greg Penn. He is a nutcase, in my opinion, if you know what I mean. He is full of you know what I mean. He's full of it. He just is absolutely full of craziness. I just showed you. He doesn't have any common sense. He just wants what he wants. He's Neanderthal. He works out of his DNA and his genetics. And he's just moving through life, scraping his knuckles on the ground, looking for whatever will please him, pleasure him, or give him a sense of elevation, shall we say. And so he doesn't really get it. He's only here to survive. He's only here to get what he can get. He misunderstands everything. He is very selfish, unkind. He is out of order with life. He does not sync well with life in its true majesty. He just goes along to get along. He lies, cheats, and steals inside. He does all sorts of things that he would consider to be looking after himself. He's a mess. He really is. And everyone is like this. We all have this ego. Jesus had it. Buddha had it. Everybody has it. But they transcended. And that is the difference. And you and I can transcend as well. It takes courage. It takes mercy. It takes compassion. And it has nothing to do with an authentic spiritual practice. Now, if you want to engage your ego, your life through the hubris of the ego, you can do that. And most people have hubris about the idea of their ego as a spiritual being. I notice that people are very prideful about whatever it is that they think is spiritual. And they talk and act and think from the spiritual, thinking that if they talk and act and think from the spiritual knowledge that they have, that they know, and we don't know. One of the interesting things about inner work, about spiritual work, that I've always found kind of fascinating is the minute you know something, it becomes obsolete. And nothing I know really can I take with me through the process of spiritual awakening. I just can't do it. So I go on and on and on with this idea and ideal of thinking to myself that I can be spiritual through some sort of egotistical craziness that I deem important. And of course, this doesn't bode well when it comes to spiritual awakening, because I never awaken. I stay in the pit of my mind, my emotions, of in fear and hate, and all I have is pride. What you're talking about here, Carol, is about pride. You're confusing the idea with spiritual awakening and inner work as a way of mixing it with pride, and it can't be done. Pride is a component of my ego, and this pride that we all have deep inside of us usually runs the ship. It is the rudder and the engine for everything, and what we're trying to do is find more things to be prideful about, and hence we miss what it is that is truly meaningful. I can't urge you enough right now in this little commentary I'm giving to you here on the radio to transcend all of this. It is difficult. Most people won't do it because they don't think they can do it. But yet all of us can, but we don't, because it's much easier to be offended and get hurt and get angry and mad and glad and pride ourselves on being, whatever it is, angry, hostile, rightfully so. When self-preservation meets self-righteousness, as I wrote in a recent commentary for my students at Mount Madonna, the two merge together, create a pride that is absolutely painful, just absolutely painful. I can't say enough about that kind of pain because it never goes away. And that's the deal. It just never goes away. So there you are, Carol. I don't know what to say. You can't merge the two. I don't know if you can hear me or understand really what I'm talking about here. But if you do and you take heed to any of this, you will find that humility leads to meekness, and meekness leads to mercy, and mercy leads to awakening. And that is the formula. I didn't make it up. It is the formula of the Beatitudes. I would suggest that you may go to the website at aspire.org and go take a look at the Beatitudes. They are the most magnificent teachings the world has ever seen, and they are succinct. I'm talking about Jesus' Beatitudes, and I think you will find that the discourses on the Beatitudes, if you're interested, are more than worth the donation for them, or become a sponsor and get it all for free. It's up to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. We do try to incorporate our ego in our practice, and we just lose it so easily, that sense of distance, and we just don't really understand. Next one comes from Larry. And he lives also in California. How does one create a new ego from the practice, Larry? Well, Larry, the object of the game is not to create an ego at all, not to even go there. Why would you want to create an ego for a spiritual practice? If you want to create another ego, another persona, well, you can do that all by just adopting a philosophy or a belief and start trying to live it. I'm sure you can do it that way. The object of an authentic spiritual practice is to go into consciousness, to awaken through consciousness, to awaken through tone, to allow the tones to vibrate in you. You and I are a mixture of tone and light. The universe is tone and light. And if you can be quiet enough on the inside to vibrate to that tone and light, you will find insight beginning to arise in you. You will find movement in your heart. It is all about the heart, not the ego. We don't want to create another ego, another persona. We want to awaken to the spiritual heart. This heart that lives within us all is absolutely magnificent. It lives in compassion. It lives in love. It lives in freedom. It lives in all sorts of things. And it does so through the means of conscious living, where I am absolutely diligent about everything I do. I'm not abrupt. I'm diligent. I am not looking for something more for myself. I'm looking how to share, how to give, how to forgive. These are the ultimate experiences of spirituality, how to give and forgive. And people have a great deal of difficulty with the giving and forgiving. They really do. It pains them a great deal because they're always looking at the idea of righteousness, self-righteousness. That has to go out the door. Self-righteousness has no place in an authentic spiritual practice. Absolutely none. And when I am looking for accolades and I'm looking for people to acknowledge my importance, or I am doing whatever I'm doing to manipulate their affections towards me, I am in my ego. So you say, how does one create a new ego from the practice? It is not that. Larry, please forgive me. This is not something that would help you. I have no way of sharing with you the importance of what it means to really, really understand the nature of your heart. It is all about the simplicity of love itself, the absolute simplicity of love itself. So what can I say? Love is not something that is egotistical, authentic love, that is. Now, human love, human mind, they are full of mischief. Same thing with the body. So they're always looking for something to create difficulties with. But the authentic seeker is one who is seeking to transcend. Transcend the ego, transcend the fears, transcend the anger, transcend, move away from, rise higher. And the way that is done, of course, is through meditation. The meditations that I offer you, the Tummo and Tibetan pulsing meditations, are there to awaken you, to the birth of something brand new within you. This vibration, these tones, when not resisted by the ego, will permeate every aspect of your life, bringing you love, kindness, freedom. More importantly, the ability to recognize what is authentic. Ah, what is authentic? Who knows that? Now, that is something very, very unique. The authenticity of life lives within us all. It runs through everything that we do. And when we are giving and forgiving, we are able to share in a generosity. The ego is never generous. It can't be generous. It's not built for that. It's built for self-preservation and self-preservation alone. That's it. It is Neanderthal. It is prehistoric. It is all those things. And if one is set and determined to live their life from that base of the ego, then there is nothing I can do to help you, and it is not spiritual at all. So you must understand, Larry, this is the way to even confuse authentic spirituality with ego is to miss the meaning of life, to miss the meaning of everything that is spiritual in and of itself. Even using that word spiritual is a scary word to me. The more I move into my own process of awakening, the less interested I am in the terminology of words. I find myself kind of turning away, and I use words all day long, from talking to you here to creating commentaries and the podcast and video cast and the breath journal that I publish every month. I do all of this, and a lot of it is just words, but you have to understand what's behind the words. And if I'm not careful, the words will precede everything that I'm trying to do and become the importance of what I do. People will tell you, you know, it's all about communication. It's really not. You know, you can communicate with people in a very vibrant, articulate way, and they still won't get it. Understanding is not a matter of intellectual prowess. Understanding is something that lives within the heart. Either you have it in your heart or you don't. If your heart is number one, if your heart is the most important, if your heart is the presence of a great love that lives within you, then you have the mechanism for a tremendous understanding. It all depends on what you want to achieve in your life. It really does. So, Larry, it's an egolessness that we're talking about here, not an ego. We're not looking to have a bigger ego, a better ego, or a different kind of ego. We're looking to have no thing in us. And if that doesn't appeal to you, which it probably doesn't, then you're not ready yet for the practice, because you don't understand that what you're willing to give up in the ego is everything that keeps you from the beautiful love that you are and that lives within you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this is from Demi in Carolina. She says, Greg, what exactly is my ego? Well, I've kind of explained. I kept your question for last because I thought that maybe all the other ways in which I've answered here could tell you what your ego is. And if you've listened to this radio broadcast, then you kind of get an oversight of it. You kind of get a view of what it means. The ego is the personification, the pompous personification of Greg Penn and Demi's ignorance. How we think of ourselves, what we think, and what we're really expressing as the makeup of the attitude of our makeup, our what we're composed of psychologically, emotionally, and even physically. So it's all there. The ego is the voice of Greg Penn and Demi's ignorance and stupidity. They don't get better. They don't change. They stay the way they are. They do what they do because that's the way they are. They don't seek anything above whatever it is that they think of as being important other than themselves. And that's as far as it goes. There is a great deal of jealousy and pride in them. And my students struggle with their egos. They don't know how to live without them. They don't want to live without them. They try to modify them. They do all sorts of things to try to keep them. But to truly transcend them, no, they're not going to do that because it all looks like a mechanism for survival. And that's really what it is, just a pure mechanism for how do I survive in a very difficult world. So there you are. That's the kind of definition of it. It is a falsehood of me that keeps me spinning like a top all the time. And I never quite come into that place where I awaken at all. I just spin around in my own thoughts, admiring them, cursing other people's thoughts, and doing very, very ugly things that really don't matter and have nothing to do with what pertains to the truth. That's all I can say about it. It is what it is. Most people would never give up their ego. I have found this to be very true. More than not, they just, they cling to this thing. You're even my name, Gregory Penn. I mean, even that could be an egotistical thing. Have you ever heard people, they use all three of their names, Gregory, Edward, Penn, you know, things like that. What is that? Well, it's ego. It's the hubris of the ego trying to separate itself from others. And yet in doing so, it becomes a part of the others. It's a tricky, tricky affair, this thing called the ego. And you have to be very careful about it and understand really what it's all about, not what you think it might be about. So, Demi, if you meditate, if you sit in silence, if you can feel the presence of something greater than your own thoughts, you will find yourself in something that is magnificent in your life. You will find that your ego, if you are devoted to it, will take you on a ride in your life that will absolutely tear your life apart and bring you to all sorts of great difficulties. It just will. And that's what people are like. They just don't get it. It is a great of energy inside of us that culminates in all sorts of self-defeating and oftentimes very wicked things that don't serve humankind very well, just so you know. I hope it helps. Oh, I hope it helps, and please forgive me, hey? Namaste. Well, there's the program. We'll see if it helps her or any of these people. Ego is a touchy subject with human beings, and once they realize what their ego is doing, it is very embarrassing to them, and typically people get insulted. So just the way it is. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. If you're interested, please forgive me. Namaste.